Welcome back to That Classic Rock Show, The Rise of Southern Rock. Jim, I know you have one dandy of a rock band coming up.
Yeah, that was pretty bad, Mark.
I know it was.
We're going to start part two with a band called Black Oak, Arkansas. Now, here's the toughest question of the day, Mark.
Okay, I'm ready.
Where are they from?
Miami Beach.
Yeah, close. Black Oak, Arkansas is where they're from, which is a little north of Memphis, Tennessee.
That was only 1,000 miles off.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
The band was led by the gravelly-voiced singer Jim Dandy Mangrum, and it boasted three guitar players who like to smash their guitars together on their last song of a concert, which I do have a photo of. I'll show it to you one day. The band was formed during high school in 1963 and were originally named The Nobody Else. The band moved to Memphis and recorded an album that flopped. But in 1971, with their name now changed to Black Oak, Arkansas, they released their first album with Atco Records.
You know how they got their name, Jim?
Black Oak, Arkansas, because that's where they're from?
Yeah, but there's more to it. Ahmet Erdogan said, why don't you name the band after the town just to upset the local conservatives, because these guys had really long hair.
Yeah, well, hopefully it worked.
It did.
They toured endlessly, and with their exciting stage act, especially Jim Dandy's gyrations, they gained a lot of popularity. The band reached the peak of their popularity in 1973 when their fifth album, High on the Hog, was released. And from that album, their single Jim Dandy, which is the old Laverne Baker tune, became a big hit. And with a great performance by guest vocalist Ruby Starr, it's a one fun song. I am so glad there's not video in here. I was singing the Jim Dandy part, and you should have seen Mark singing the Ruby Starr part.
Yeah, and but, dancing. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, very embarrassing. I have some fun facts about the drummers in the band. Tommy Aldridge, who was in the band from 72 to 76, moved on, and he played with the Thumbs from Chicago, and he also played with Pat Travers for many years,
Ooh.
The great blues guitarist Gary Moore,
yep.
and some guy named Ozzy Osbourne.
Ooh, Ozzy.
Yeah, and Whitesnake.
Ooh, wow.
And then the drummer since 1988 was drummer Johnny Bolin. He's been with BOA for a long time. He happens to be the brother of the great guitar player Tommy Bolin.
Yep. All right, Jim. My turn, right?
Your turn.
Okay.
I'm done.
Jim, I'm going to use the words of Willie Nelson, who inducted the Allman Brothers Band into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And he said this: "The Allman Brothers Band defined Southern rock. They redefined the direction of rock and roll and opened the doors to a spirit of musical experimentation that continues today." But now for my words. Greg Allman, Duane Allman, Dickie Betts, Barry Oakley, J-Mo, and Butch Trucks were born to make music together. The original members had a once-in-a-lifetime chemistry that few ever experience. During the 1970s, they were arguably the most influential rock band in America, and they are my favorite American band of all time. The band's Live at the Fillmore East album is arguably the most impressive example of live rock music ever captured on record. It represents one of those rare moments when a band's improvisational abilities are so in sync and exceptional. Duane Allman referred to those special moments as hitting the note. Let's listen to the Elmore James song, "Done Somebody Wrong, I Wonder Who," off the 1971 album Live at the Fillmore East. Jim, this is just my opinion, but we just listened to the greatest slide guitar player of all time. Okay, Jim, it's Q&A time. Before Duane Allman put the original band together, what was he admired for?
Well, I know he was a session guitarist at the Muscle Shoals down in Alabama. He played on records with Aretha Franklin, Wilson Pickett, King Curtis, but my favorite is the Boz Scaggs song,
yes,
Loan Me a Dime.
Yep, great slow blues song. Despite the two motorcycle accidents that robbed the band of original guitarists Duane Allman and Barry Oakley, other musicians have joined with the same kindred spirit and excellence that has enabled the Allman Brothers Band to carry on for four more decades. They played their final concert on October 29th, 2014. Jim, I think we saw them on that tour.
Yes, we did.
Did we not? Okay. One more Q&A. Jim, what were the most chilling aspects of the deaths of guitarist Duane Allman and bassist Barry Oakley?
Well, it was coincidentally, they both died riding their motorcycles in Macon, Georgia, a year apart and within two blocks of each other. And according to Greg Allman, it's been said that when Duane Allman died, Barry Oakley was just so devastated that he went on a downward spiral that led to his own tragic death.
You are listening to That Classic Rock Show on WHRU LP 101.5 FM and on demand.
Well, one of the gross things kids do to each other is they wet their finger with spit and they stick it in your ear. And that's the name of the next band, Wet Willie.
Yeah, Jim, get your finger out of my ear,
won't you? Sorry, that's a Wet Willie. They're the pride and joy of Mobile, Alabama. And the band Wet Willie was first known as Fox, but changed their name when they relocated to Macon, Georgia to record with Capricorn Records. Speaking of Mobile, Alabama, Mr. Baseball over there.
Okay.
What baseball players were from that area?
One of my sports idols, Hammer and Henry Aaron, the real home run king, and sweet swinging Billy Williams of the Cubs.
Yep, they were great ball players, loved them both. But back to Wet Willie. Regarded as a southern rock band, they combined blue-eyed soul with R&B and funk to create a very unique sound, all their own. And in 1974, they released the album Keep On Smilin', which had a laid-back bluesy sound and was their biggest-selling album of all time. Off that album is the song Countryside of Life, which was written by guitarist Rick Hirsch and produced by the famed producer Tom Dowd. Singer Jimmy Hall, who had roots in gospel music, used his soulful voice, boosted by the background singing of the Willettes, give this song the bounce you need to put you in a good mood all day long.
Yeah.
Around, look down at my toes, and I can still see the
I've been a fan of Wet Willie since 1973 when I saw them open for Beck, Bogart, and Appice. Mark, did you ever see Wet Willie back in the day?
No, it's one of the few Southern rock bands I never saw. But when the band toured with Beck, Bogart, and Appice, Jeff Beck was really impressed, I understand, with Jimmy Hall singing. And he kept Jimmy Hall in mind through the years, and he asked him to sing on his 1985 album Flash, which was nominated for a Grammy. And I love that album, by the way.
Yeah, it's very good. And don't forget, he still toured with Beck in the last couple years, 2016 and 2018.
Yeah. And you and I saw them together in Jeff Beck's 2016 tour. Hall's vocals and harmonica were still very impressive. Without a doubt, the Outlaws are one of the most underrated bands of the Southern rock movement. Formed in Tampa, Florida in 1972, the band featured the triple guitar attack of Henry Paul, Huey Thomason, and Billy Jones. They were known by fans as the Florida Guitar Army. And all three guitarists were also accomplished vocalists, so the band was known for their gorgeous three-part country harmonies as well. At the urging of Ronnie Van Zant of Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Outlaws were the first act signed by Clive Davis's Arista Records. Their first three albums went gold and platinum and featured many rock radio staples. The Outlaws often toured with other Southern rock bands too, and they developed a reputation for fiery live performances. Like so many Southern rock bands, they've enjoyed longevity over the years, and they've produced a legacy of 11 studio and 5 live albums that have forged the band's place in Southern rock history. Let's listen to There Goes Another Love Song off the band's 1975 debut album, The Outlaws. And it proves how a jam-based Southern rock band was also capable of crafting melodically appealing and accessible radio songs.
Sometimes I feel I am getting kind of low. Thoughts I am thinking are the reason, so I try to remember without talking to myself things that I've said or maybe things that I felt about you. Sitting in a corner of a crowded barroom, people all around me and I still feel alone. Just when I know I'm gonna break down and cry, someone play the tune that drives the tear from my eye.
There goes another love song, someone singing about me again. There goes another love song, now I need more than a from my home, trying to get back to where I know I belong. Wish and a hope that I was already there. I just heard a voice that whispered in my ear singing,
there goes another love song, someone singing about me again. There goes another love song.
Jim, I saw the Outlaws open for Lynyrd Skynyrd at Alpine Valley in Wisconsin, And they just blew my socks off. They should have been a lot bigger than they were. Here's a bit of cool trivia about the Outlaws. Their show-stopping standard, Green Grass and High Tides, was conceived by guitarist Huey Thomason while he was on a beach. He imagined that Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Duane Allman, and Jim Morrison all rose from the grave and performed personally just for him. Quite a fantasy, huh?
I've had those kind of fantasies, but but anyway, okay. I digress. Last up for the evening is Molly Hatchet, who was formed in Jacksonville, Florida in 1971 by their guitarist, Dave Hlubeck. Like Lynyrd Skynyrd and the Marshall Tucker Band, there's not a band number with the name Molly Hatchet. They named themselves after a famous 17th century axe murderess. Don't know why. And her name was Hatchet Molly. She would behead her lovers. I'm glad I never dated her.
I guess she didn't get many marriage proposals.
Probably not. The original band members, unfortunately, are all dead. But they were heavily influenced by Lynyrd Skynyrd. It seems like so many bands were. And starting in 1978, the band released their self-titled debut album, followed by Flirting with Disaster and Beating the Odds, all raucous southern rock and roll, and all three going platinum. And the song we're going to play is called Big Apple off their first album. It was written by singer Danny Joe Brown and Hlubeck. Please enjoy. One last thing about Molly Hatchet was their great album covers. They were painted, drawn by Frank Frazetta. He was a very famous fantasy and science fiction artist.
Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah. That's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed Southern Rock. Please join us each week for songs and talk about the greatest era of rock and roll.
We are on every Monday from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. and on Fridays from 11 a.m. to noon. Our shows are also available on demand and accessible 24/7 from anywhere in the world. Just visit the station's website at huntleyradio.com.
And our book, Classic Rock, Photographs from Yesterday and Today, can be found on Amazon. And to view my photography, please visit my website at jimsamariaphoto.com. You can also find us on Facebook.
If you have a topic that you would like us to feature, email the station at hcr@huntleyradio.org. And you know what, Jim?
You've been listening to that classic rock show on Huntley Community Radio,
WHRULP 101.5 FM, and on demand from anywhere in the world.
Thanks again for listening. I did that good.